Good morning. We just had our meditation from 11 to 11:15. And hopefully you've become receptive. You've quieted down inside and you're able to listen so that your consciousness may reveal to you what you need to hear. We'll go back a page here and recap a little bit from last week under the section Foundation Stones for a Life of Prayer. We're studying the book The Altitude of Prayer by Joel Goldsmith, and we're looking at the chapter Pray Without Ceasing. So here on page 65 it says, you must have at least 3 periods a day for prayer, meditation, and inner communion. And of course later he's going to say, well, right down here he says it. From 20 to 30 each day. So he says eventually it will increase from 3 times to 20 to 30 each day. True, some of them may be 1 minute or even as short as 10, 20, or 30 seconds, but they will bring the realization, thank you, Father, for omnipotence. Thank you, Father, that besides you there is no other power. There is no power of destruction, but the power of God's grace here where I am. So that's a little contemplation he did, and if you time that, it's probably about 10 seconds. He says, 1 minute of this 20 times a day would change your life so rapidly that soon your friends and relatives would not recognize you. But that is where the difficulty comes in. You intend to do it 20 times a day and forget 18 times. That makes no difference, since tomorrow you will probably forget it only 17 times. By the end of the week, you will not forget so often. Then, when the fruitage begins to roll in, you will never let it get away from you. Now, what is this fruitage that rolls in after practicing this? Well, first and foremost, peace of mind. You begin to experience my peace, because you're not fighting anymore. You're resting. 20 or 30 times a day, you're resting. It's not so much the contemplation, but the pause after the contemplation. Through these short meditations, you have the assurance, in the midst of your normal day's living, that you are continuing in and under God's grace. To practice meditations of only a few seconds duration, you do not have to close your eyes, nor do you have to sit down. You can pray while in your office working. You can pray at home, cooking or house cleaning, or while you're driving your car. Regardless of what you are doing with your body, you can give 10 seconds to I in God and God in me. Where I am, God is. That is enough. That's enough. But don't forget the pause afterwards, because we're training ourselves to listen, to have a direct channel to God, and to listen for the word. I had a man tell me once, he was really quite angry, that God never talked to him. And I said something like, that's because you never listen. So it's not anything grandiose. It's not, it can be a powerful experience, but when you practice this 20 to 30 times a day, it's more like, for me, it's more like being inspired. You know? Like just hearing one word whispered to you, omnipresence, and it stays with you all day. And all day you practice that one word, omnipresence. Another time you might practice, I don't have to work that hard. Christ is here. Simple. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to sit down. Though I think later on he says we're going to continue with the three meditations for 30 minutes, and we're going to add to it these 20 or 30 10-second to 1-minute meditations. So he says, another hour, underneath are the everlasting arms. Here where I am, God is. And that meditation is enough. And another hour, I live, not by might nor by power, but by God's grace. I can rest in the assurance of that grace. See that? Little short, sweet ones, because we are sort of priming the pump. We are practicing remembering. My first teacher, Don, said, we remember not to forget, and we forget not to remember. And so, I do this, I practice this. I'll be driving in the car, and I keep my inner ear open for that inspiration, what is called the Word. Now, the Word is imparted to you from God, from your consciousness, because God is your consciousness. So instead of living up here in the head and thinking, well, I've got to go to town, I need to do this, that, and the other, and, well, let's see, I got to find a parking space. Those are awfully difficult to find. And, you know, all that stuff that runs through the mind. Well, I detach from that. I don't know what it's doing. I'm not paying attention. I'm over here opening to the Word. Omnipresence. Because of omnipresence, omniscience must be. Because there's only one. Because of omnipresence, omni-grace must be. Because of omnipresence, omni-comforter must be. Because of omnipresence, omni-living, omni-life must be. And I do that as I'm driving along. And the funny thing is, I get to the store and there's parking right up front. I go in, the thing I needed was on sale. You hit this thing called synchronicity, and it's what's called the demonstration. That's the Word that you entertained taking form out here. It's really fascinating. Anyway, he says, another hour you may look at a tree and realize day and night the life of God is animating that tree. And so he's giving you examples here of what he might do. Never less than once in every hour must there be these 10 seconds of conscious remembrance. Can you make a commitment for that? I would like you to make a commitment to yourself. Never less than once in every hour must there be these 10 seconds of conscious remembrance. And there's that word, conscious, again. And so that comes out to 20 times a day. Because you have one in the morning when you wake up, you have one before you fall asleep. And then that leaves you 18. And most people are up and about 18 hours a day. But if you're not, then you can stick in a couple of extras if you're only up 16 hours a day. I and God, God and me, I live by grace, not by might nor by power. So let me be still and know that I in the midst of me am God. Just 10 seconds now and then are enough to keep you consciously, there's that word again, in the atmosphere of God. See, whatever you are consciously aware of is what will manifest in your life, in your consciousness. You live and move and have your being in your consciousness. And so if you're meeting with rough people, if you're meeting with angry people, if you're meeting with people that are disgusted or, I don't know, just irritable people, that's what I'm trying to say. If you're meeting with irritable people in your day and in your travels, going to the stores you go to or the bank or whatever, if you're meeting with impatient people, you're moving in your consciousness, which is why the first wisdom of the infinite way is begin your spiritual life with the understanding that all conflicts must be settled within your consciousness. Must be settled within your consciousness. So I had a person write to me the other day and said that they were running into these kind of people, disagreeable people. And I said back, you're moving through your own consciousness, so you need to clean up your consciousness. And I probably should have explained that a little better, so I'll do that right now. If you are moving through the world and running into disagreeable, impatient, irritable people, you can fix it, not by going out there and telling them what they're doing wrong, not by moving to a place where everybody's gentle and loving, but by going within your own consciousness and saying to yourself, what am I pouring out? Well, I'm seeing these people, and I'm judging. I'm claiming this one's irritable, that one's discontented, this one's impatient, So I need to step back from that and do what he says. Practice these 20 to 30 10-second meditations. Okay, so I just had a gentleman come to the door and lost my train of thought here, but I think I can get close to it. 20 times a day. I'm curious about something. Let me see here. I in God and God in me. I live by grace, not by might nor by power. So let me be still and know that I in the midst of me am God. And that was almost exactly 10 seconds. I got 12 seconds on my watch. Just 10 seconds now and then are enough to keep you consciously in the atmosphere of God, to serve to fulfill Scripture in your experience, and to maintain the contact between you and your source. Wherever you are, you must have a 10-second period every little while to remember, the grace of God is upon me. Now, surely you understand that the words are not important. Sometimes the word, as I hear it, as I receive it, comes in the form of a scripture, such as one of the early ones I received, which is, I come at a moment ye think not. But more and more these days, they seem to be coming in modern language. At least that's the way I hear them. I don't know how they're sent. So, I may hear, you don't have to work that hard. Relax. Rest. Be still. I may hear, peace. Be still. The point is that we are practicing, training ourselves to be receptive to the Word of God. And the Word of God is not necessarily words. If I sit down and I just let out a breath and say, Father, and then I feel the presence, that feeling of the presence is the Word. Now, it may come with a set of words with it, but it may not. The point is here that I am practicing to be in tune with God's Word. Now, God's Word is not the scripture that I say. That scripture that I say is just to remind me to let God is. And then the experience that comes in the pausing, whether a feeling of the presence, whether a light, whether a smell of flowers, whether a series of words. When you receive them as an impartation from within, you know it. You know it. Nobody has to tell you. It's totally different than you just thinking a thought. And whatever's received is power. So we're training ourselves to live most of our day in that pausing. And this 20 to 30 times a day contemplating for 10 seconds, this is the practice that will put us in the right attitude and altitude of prayer so that we're able to be receptive and receive Him. Those of you who are trying to live the life of prayer, engage in all the natural and normal activities that are a part of everyday living. And we do all things that for the time being are necessary. Yes, it doesn't mean that you become an ascetic or a monk or a nun. You can if you want, but you don't have to. This does not mean that we are praying all the time. It means that we are in prayer. Okay, so that's important. It doesn't mean you're praying all the time. It means you are in prayer. To be in prayer means to be in a listening attitude, in an inner stillness. Then, if the voice should speak, we are able to hear it. All right, so that's where we left off last week. And this next section is called Practicing the Presence. And if you have the book Practicing the Presence, maybe you'll want to take another look. But he condenses it into a few paragraphs here. He's going to give us 10 examples of these short meditations. Early in your experience, you will learn that in order to live a life of prayer, it is necessary to practice the presence of God consciously. There's that word again. Consciously, to make an effort to keep God in consciousness. So here's number one. Now, you don't copy these. These are examples. These are the times in your day that you have little 10-second contemplations. I really want you to understand this. Don't copy these words. Don't even copy these thoughts. To make it alive, you have to choose your own contemplation. Begin in the morning with the recognition that this is the day the Lord has made, and stopping periodically to remember some passage of Scripture is building the temple with truth. So, except truth build the temple, it will not be a spiritual temple. What does that mean? You are told, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? But that statement is not true. It's not true. Except truth build the temple, it will not be a temple of God. So begin your day with the truth that God governs this day. See, everything must be settled in consciousness. And so to be the temple of the living God, you must consciously be aware of omnipresence. God governs your day from waking to sleeping and throughout the night, if you are consciously remembering. And so, this is number two. At breakfast time, again, there is a momentary pause just to say, "Thank you, Father. The earth is full of your bounty. Not only do you thank the Father that your table is full," that alone would be a selfish kind of prayer, "but you realize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that the Father has belongs to every son and daughter." And here's the third one. "Upon leaving your home in the morning, remember the presence goes before you to make the crooked places straight and to build mansions for you." Here's the number four. "Later, some problem may be presented to you greater than your ability to solve. And that is an opportunity for another 10 seconds just to remember, He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." You take 10 seconds for remembering. He is performing that which is given you to do. Relaxing in this way, you are giving Him an opportunity to come through and take over. You see, these are very simple. Nothing complicated. Don't get hung up on the words. Choose your own words, as long as they lead you to a place where you remember God is with you, or God is your consciousness, or I am omnipresence, then that's fine. Whatever words work. But don't forget, the important part is after you've stated that, you pause, and listen. He says, driving on the road, you will need that 10 seconds to remember. Here's number five. There's only one being on the road. There may be a million drivers, but there's only one being. If you do not consciously remember that, there's that word, consciously, you are not bringing it into your experience. It is the conscious recognition and the conscious acknowledgement of it that makes it demonstrable. Demonstrable means makes it take form. When you are consciously aware of truth uttered within you by the Father, when you're consciously aware of receiving the Word, well, then you've received Him, and to you is given the power to become the outer expression of God, which is the Christ. And that's what you demonstrate. Just as you begin your day by knowing the truth, so you retire at night with an activity of truth in your consciousness which changes the nature of your night's sleep. This is number six. I am not going to sleep as a human being. I am resting in the divine consciousness of the truth I have embodied during these many years. I am going to rest consciously aware of the Word of God, alive and alert in me, whether asleep or awake. Okay, so those are six examples. Here's number seven. As many times a day as you can think of it, later you will do it without consciously thinking of it, blink the eyes, if it is only for a second, and remember, omnipresence, omnipotence, or omniscience. The very word omnipotence is the assurance to you that there is no power but God. Now, the other day I was living with omnipresence means omnipotence. I was living with, because of omnipresence, omnipotence is. See, because there's only one. And so I was living with that. Now, that's not a scripture. It's probably somewhere in the Infinite Way writings, but I heard it within. Because of omnipresence, omnipotence is. And so I lived with that for a couple of days until the next one came. Now, he cautions, the first month or two of a life of prayer may be difficult, but after a couple of months of this practice, a person could no more go through a 15-minute period without some conscious realization of God than he could go 15 minutes without breathing. It would be impossible. Living in this attitude, you will be living by grace, which is receiving Him and watching it form itself. Yes, you become a beholder, but you don't become a beholder unless you open the door, and you don't open the door unless you first learn to practice the presence in the way he's outlining. And then you add to that a meditation after you awaken, perhaps one in the afternoon and one before you go to bed that's a half an hour long. And he says, you will have the God experience. It was amazing to me as I read this chapter to see how much I had gotten out of practice and also how much I was still doing, not even noticing. So again, don't copy his words. Don't copy my words. Get your own. Go within. And I wrote down here in the margin, it's the pause after. The pause. Truth is spirit, and I am the truth. So what does that make me? That makes me spirit. If I have the door open within, then that I will come in and sup with me. And then it'll be me. You've had that experience. I know you've had in certain situations. What we are walking toward is a consciousness where that I is what I am 24/7. We're not there yet, but we're walking toward it. And I wrote, not by words nor by thoughts, but by the infinite, invisible, flowing through our opening. And here's number 8. You can be of no greater help to anyone than the measure of truth established in your consciousness. Before you leave your home in the morning to go about your activities, whether they be marketing, shopping, or business, you must undertake a daily work to remind yourself that you have died to your human sense and have been reborn through the Word. You see, are you ready to die today? And as you go out into the world, you carry God's grace everywhere you walk. So let's stick one of these 10-second meditations in right now. You stop. Because of omnipresence, I am the grace of God. I, my very own consciousness, I am the grace of God. And I walk with and in and through that grace. He says, all who enter your consciousness during this day, whether they be storekeepers, customers, clients, patients, students, friends, or enemies, must feel the power of God which is stored up within you through your years of opening yourself to the Word of God, which is truth and which now constitutes your being. That's beautiful and true. If you practice, I know a lot of us, maybe most of us, read the book, The Practicing the Presence, and we thought about it for a while, and we got some good ideas. I know it helped me in my meditations, but then we forgot about it. You go on about your life. I went back to school. I got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. And while I was concentrating on all that, I was working two jobs. You have to pay for that education. I was working two jobs, a full-time and a part-time. And I was working on my marriage, which was failing. And I was getting more and more depressed. And the reason was, I wasn't doing this. I didn't have time. And so, if you were like most of us, you read Practicing the Presence, you got a couple of nice ideas, maybe you had some peaceful moments communing with the book, but then you set it aside and went about your daily life, and slowly it subsided and you forgot about it. And that's okay. Who cares? Here we are now. That's the only thing that matters. What are we going to do today? And today, I'm going to practice these 20 or 30 times. And I do it. I'll drive down the street, and I'll just say one word, omnipresence. And then I recognize I am moving through omnipresence, and so is everyone else. And if you remember that you're moving through your own consciousness, your own omnipresence, if you consciously remember that, that's what I mean by cleaning up your consciousness. And then you won't run into these disgruntled, impatient, irritable people. And if you do, they'll feel that presence from you. And they may say, can I talk to you? That happens a lot. So, you learn never to leave your home without a conscious realization of truth. When you have completed this, you can sit quietly and wait. That's the pause. When you have completed this, you can sit, any of these. When you have completed this, you can sit quietly and wait in the receptive atmosphere created by your knowing the truth until you feel the seal of God upon you. If it does not come at first, do not let that disturb you. Be thorough about the work, bringing to it all that you can remember of the principles of the infinite way. So, that right there is the most important part of these 20 to 30 10-second meditations. It's the pause afterward. when you are receptive and listening and waiting on God. And here is number 9. In this morning preparation, you must provide a minute for consciously releasing all those who have given offense. Whether it is against you, against democracy, justice, or against the Word of God, set them free. Release them. Be willing that they be forgiven without penalty. All this must be included in your daily preparation. It cannot be neglected. Only what you put into it comes out as demonstration. So the effort, the love, the practice that you put into it, and then the pause afterward, that is what comes out in demonstration, appears as form in your life. That is how you change your world. It must be met in consciousness. So, whether the problem, here's number 10, whether the problem is some form of sin, disease, lack, limitation, or unhappiness, your prayer work must include the realization that this that is binding you is not power. It must include the realization that you are not invoking a God power to destroy a sin or a disease. The truth you are realizing is that nothing is power but God. What then can hinder you? And so there are 10 second meditations with pausing afterwards. So surely you can come up with 10 of your own, and then you'll be satisfying the 20 periods a day. Eventually, he says, you'll get to the place where you can't go 15 minutes without remembering, without realizing, without resting. Imagine, you can't go 15 minutes without resting in God. Now that's being in prayer. Your responsibility as a neighbor is to be a positive influence for good. You are a positive influence for good only in proportion as your consciousness is active in truth, filled with the truth that you are consciously uttering, silently, sacredly, secretly, and I guess that would be 11. You do not have to tell anyone that you are praying for him, or that your hope is to be a blessing to him. Be satisfied if God's grace touches him without your getting any personal credit for it. Let God have the glory. Let's practice again. Here, right here where I am, is my consciousness. And God is my consciousness. Therefore I rest and I behold, I bear witness. Father, reveal thyself. Now pause. Here's another one. Where two or more are gathered together in his nature, there am I in the midst of them. And you and I are two or more. And I is in the midst of us now. Speak, thy servant heareth. See, it's not a big deal, and it doesn't take real long, but it trains you to open your consciousness and invite him in. And when you receive him, you become the living Christ. It manifests. Your consciousness is infinite. It's as infinite as God, because God constitutes your consciousness, and God is infinite. So that sentence right there should really give you quite a bit of assurance, because he spits it right out. God constitutes your consciousness. So you are allowed to sit still for 10 seconds and realize my consciousness is God. Closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Consciousness, take over. And then pause. This is fantastic. If you realize, really, really realize and acknowledge that God is your consciousness is God, whither can you flee from spirit? If you know it and consciously remember it, then you are embraced by God consciousness. But you have to prime the pump. You have to kickstart it. And you do that by turning. Turn ye and live. You do that from turning from your thoughts to turning to these 10-second meditations. Turning to God's thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Speak, Lord, thy thoughts. And pause. These truths, consciously realized before you leave home in the morning, change the nature of your day. As pointed out before, a person living as a human being is subject to chance, accident, change, subject to every wind that blows. You cannot let your mind be a vacuum. You cannot let it be acted upon by those who want to do you good and those who don't want to do you good. See, it's, he says outright, it's difficult work for a month or two and sometimes for a year or two until you get to the place where you're praying without ceasing. It doesn't mean you're always praying, but it does mean you're always in prayer. And in prayer, we understand now, is the pausing we do after we utter a scripture or a principle. That pausing is being in prayer. You said that you wanted to know how to practice these principles. So now you're being told. Can you make a commitment? This is not a lazy man's work, nor is it a lazy way of life. Keep the Word of God in your mind, in your soul, and in your heart. If you abide in the Word, and let the Word abide in you consciously, you will be one of those who give the benediction, the blessing, not of yourself, but by the grace of God, through the truth which you embody in your consciousness and which you never forget. And so, in the morning, before you leave your home, and at night before you go to bed, lesson number one, the first step, very short, very sweet, very gentle. Acknowledge God within. And we must do that at least hourly. Any questions? Well, if there is, write me at iamwithin@gmail.com. I am within because that's where God hides. iamwithin@gmail.com, and I'll answer your question to the best of my ability. I think this talk is complete. It doesn't feel like anything's missing. So let's have one more. Maybe we could even double it to 20 seconds. I, in the midst of me, am mighty. I am not mighty in conquering something or someone. I am mighty in expressing the living Christ. Be still and know, I, God, your very own consciousness, express through your silence the living Christ. Rest. Rest here. Just rest. Okay. We're a little short. We have about 8 minutes left. Well, 7 minutes. And I will just say this to wrap up. Practicing the presence is very, very important. It trains your consciousness to be receptive not to human thought, not to human words, but to divine thought, to the Word. And when you are receptive to the Word, you hear it. And then you pause, you rest. There's nothing left to do but rest and behold. And the Word becomes flesh and dwells among you. And you behold the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ liveth in you. Thank you for drawing this out. I love to do these talks because I realize more and more as I do them. The more I give, the more I pour out, the more I have. So thank you for drawing this out. And for the love and for the support over these last couple of months. Well, actually over the last 15 years. Thank you. I love you. Blessings.